Good morning, church family. It's great to see everybody here today. It's November. Can you believe that? It's flying by through this year, I think, but great opportunities always ahead of us. As you're coming in this morning, hopefully you remember to grab your communion supplies. If you weren't able to grab those on your way in, don't worry. When we get ready to serve communion a little bit, or to have communion a little bit later, we'll have some men that can come down to serve that to you if you do need to get one of those packets. Want to offer up lots of big thank yous for this past Thursday for those that came out and participated in the Safe Trick or Treat. If you were either helping hand out glow sticks and candy, or if you were getting to walk around with your family and help those kids do some trick or treating. But a special thank you to Denise, to David, to Taylor, Whitney, and my family, and definitely to little Lydia Holt because she was out there in front of the table making sure everybody had pencils and glow sticks in all of their bags. So it was a great help that we had. One of the really fun things about doing this year was we also had our Night of 100 Casseroles going on. So we got to tell people, hey, after you get done trick-or-treating, why don't you head over so you can pick up a casserole? And I think it's our record at this point, right? 178 casseroles we gave out in about an hour and a half. So thank you to you guys for that. And it's amazing. It was kind of neat in a way because we would see families coming through trick-or-treating, but they're also holding a casserole at the same time. So it's a great ministry that we do have going on here at Graham Street. Don't forget, tonight at 5 p.m., we have our Bible classes going on, adult class here in the auditorium, family Bible class for our children's ministry and their parents across the street in the family center, and then our teen youth group class meets in room 109, all those at 5 p.m., so I encourage you guys to be here and be part of those today. And as always, check out our websites as well as our Facebook page to get up-to-date info and lots of different things that are going on and important dates that are coming up. As we get ready to worship together this morning, I'm going to ask that you stand for the reading of God's word and a prayer, and then also if you could remain standing for our first song. From John 15, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the love that you have for us and for the grace and the mercy that you showed to us in sending your Son so that we might be with you for all eternity. Father, today as we have the opportunity to study, to worship, Father, to remember the sacrifice that you were willing to give on our behalf, Father, help us to learn in our lives to share that love in the exact same way that you showed it to us. May those that we come in contact with, may those we speak to, Father, may they know who we are by the love that we show to each other and by the love that we show to those that we don't even know. Father, bless us this morning as we have the opportunity to open our hearts and our minds and our mouths to you in worship. We are so grateful that you are a God who chooses to call us his children. Father, we thank you for this time and this place that we have to be joined together today. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Wasn't sure if the time change would affect some of us this morning, but it looked like we've got a good crowd. So y'all sing out with me. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days and I must go. The deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun, child of God each day. My light must shine along the way. His praise while ages roll and strive to help some troubled soul. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deed that I've found, where there will be no setting sun, the only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. You can be seated. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in His mighty power. In the strength Jesus trust, who in the strength of Jesus trust is more than conqueror. Stand then in His great might, with all His strength endued. But take to arm you for the fight. But take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. That having all things done and all your conflicts past, you may overcome through Christ alone. You may overcome through Christ alone and stand entire at last. Watch thou my wayward feet. Guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. It's amazing how we get an extra hour of sleep and we're still sleepy. What's the deal with that? I can't understand it. This is an exciting week. For many people, it's stressful. A lot of anxiety in our world, it seems, right now. COVID has not helped that, but it seems that this election year has more stress than any, certainly in my lifetime that I can remember. I think it's important that we be in prayer. We need to remember, regardless of the results that come out from the election, we're all a part of this. We're all a part of this great country of America. It's an experiment long ago that our ancestors were involved in to see if we really could make democracy work, where people have a voice in their government, where people have a say. And we have a privilege that sometimes we take for granted in being a part of this great government, because there are so many countries that do not have the right to vote. They don't have the right to be represented. And we need to not take that for granted. And we need to remember that regardless of the outcome, God is still in control. God's still using this in His way to bring about what He deems is the best to bring about the result that He's after. And that's that more and more people come to believe in Him and submit to Him as the ultimate King and ruler of the world. So let's pray about that. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful to live in this great land. We're grateful that we have a voice in our government. We're grateful that we can cast our vote. We're grateful for people who are willing to serve our country, who are willing to step forward and be leaders. And although we have great disagreements among many different groups about how certain things should be done in governing, we disagree about how money should be spent. We disagree as to how to take care of those who are oppressed, those who are least fortunate among us. We disagree about how to make decisions, how to make laws, how to execute those laws, and how to judge those who disobey those laws. But one thing we agree on is that we are a part of this country, that we have a say, that we are included. And for those who feel that they're not, we pray, Father, that You will help us to see how we can do a better job of inclusion. Help us to see how we can truly make this a country where all have an equal voice and all have a part in the governing. We ask, Father, for those who feel oppressed and downtrodden and those who feel they're left behind, that we will seek ways that we might be better at serving the needs of all people. And we ask, Father, that as this election year begins to wrap up with all of the complications that we've had this year, with the pandemic, with the hurricanes, with all kinds of natural disasters all over the world, and where there are still wars and rumors of wars, that we will realize that we have not necessarily put in place a new ruler or a new execution of law, but we have put ourselves in the position of being able to look for your guidance. That whether we agree or we disagree, we're brought closer to an understanding of why we so much need a Savior. We've been brought to a place where we can remember even more powerfully that we are under the rulership of the God Almighty, who made us to begin with and breathed into us life and brought us into this world that you created. We ask, Father, that we will never, ever forget that. And we pray, Father, that we will diligently seek you in all that we do and all that we say and all that we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 30 this morning. I'm going to talk about the joy of teamwork. This lesson has a lot of applications, I think, because there's all kinds of teams. We just prayed about one type of team, the team of being a part of this great country. And although we all live in different areas and we live in under different local authorities, we have different aspects of our life as Americans, we are part of this great country. And that in itself is a huge team, and it's divided into smaller teams. All of our family groups are teams. All of our areas of work are teams. And of course, we don't have to be reminded that we have football teams and basketball teams and so forth. There's all kinds of teams. But there's also church teams. Every congregation is a team. Every ministry within that church is a team. So this morning, really, you would have a harder time trying to figure out how this lesson doesn't apply than trying to figure out how it applies. And there's great joy in being a part of a team that's trying to do God's will. So if you will, look with me in this text as I read through it, and then we'll talk about the joy of teamwork. Beginning of verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not for those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. In this story, you get a glimpse at what's going on in the life of Paul. Paul is probably under house arrest in Rome. He is a prisoner awaiting for his trial to come up. And while he's in this type of jail, if you will, he's being able to be served by others who are concerned about him. In that group are Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy we know more about because we know there are two books in the New Testament that are addressed to him from Paul. We know that Timothy eventually is involved in the work at Ephesus, and that's where he has a longer stay in ministry. We know that Paul probably sent him to various places to try to deal with taking care of churches that Paul has planted, and Timothy is to try to finish the work that he started there. But for this temporary period of time, while Paul is in prison, Timothy has come to help Paul out and to take care of his needs and to see that the work that's going on outside of the community in Rome is being taken care of by Timothy's ministry. Paul sees Timothy as very necessary for him right now so that he can continue the work that he needs to do through Timothy. Epaphroditus is from the church at Philippi. The Philippians have sent Epaphroditus to go check on Paul, to see how he's doing, to see if he needs anything, to take money to him so that it'll take care of his needs. And apparently while Epaphroditus was looking after Paul and serving him, Epaphroditus became ill, so ill that he almost died. And word has gone back to the Philippians that the person that you sent, the person you love to take care of Paul, has himself become very ill. And they are eager to hear that he is okay. And of course, in this letter, Paul is saying, it is true, he became ill and he almost died, but he's okay now, and I'm sending him back to you. Even though he's very useful to me, I want you to see that he's okay, and I want you to be able to rejoice seeing that he's all right, and hopefully I will come to be with you soon. So Paul is very concerned about the teamwork that they have going together here. Paul with his team, with Timothy and Epaphroditus and other people who are looking after him. And Paul very much wants them to know that the ministry is continuing on, that he has been able to witness about Jesus to the people who are his guards. And he fully intends when his trial comes up, he's going to use it as a place to testify to Jesus. He wants them to know that through Epaphroditus and through Timothy, he has continued his work in the area around where he is staying, that he's helping them to go spread the word of the gospel. And they're doing it with some fear because it's a possibility that they themselves might become arrested and be thrown in jail as well. So this is a courageous thing that they're doing. And Paul is saying that we have quite a team here, and you're a part of that team. As the church in Philippi, you're a part of that team, and I want you to understand that. I want to tell you about what I would judge to be the best teammate I ever played with in athletics. And I, as far as I know, Keith never won an award for being the best teammate. But to me, he was the best teammate. And like so many linemen on the blocking line of a football, they don't get the attention that they deserve. But Keith was one of the best that I ever played with. He played guard for us all the way from when I started in football in seventh grade all the way up. And he was amazing. He was a stout guy. You could easily outrun him in a foot race, but he was the fastest guy off the line. Nobody could get off the line faster than he did and stay low and get that block in. We also used him as a pulling guard. And he would leave his slot, and probably some of you don't know what in the world I'm talking about, but he would leave his spot, and he would come out and block in front of me going around the end. And I would read off of his block which way I needed to go or pitch or whatever. And he was great. He was amazing at it. And he was a great teammate in that way. But in baseball, he was better known. In baseball, he played third base. I don't know that he ever committed an error in a game. A ground ball just could not get past him. He just swallowed it up. We like to, and this won't mean anything to most of you younger guys probably, but we called him Brooks in baseball after Brooks Robinson, who was a great third baseman. And we thought, man, he is even better than Brooks Robinson. But he was fantastic, and he was a great teammate on the baseball team because he and I were always competing for who had the best batting average. And it was a big deal. After every game, we would calculate our batting average and see who was ahead. And so he just had a great relationship with me. He was always encouraging. He was always helpful. When the coach had a scatterbrained idea in junior high school for me to become a quarterback, he worked with me all summer long trying to help me figure out what in the world I was supposed to be doing. And he was a great teammate in that regard. What we do often, though, is in how we consider who a great teammate is based on skill. What I've told you about is how good Keith was as a guard, or how good he was as a third baseman, or how well he would bat. That's how we most often think about teams. Even in the church, we often make the mistake of only evaluating how valuable someone is to the team on the basis of their skill level and what they accomplish. But oftentimes there are things that we miss about what makes a great teammate. And therefore we miss the joy of just being on the same team, because we're looking for the wrong things to measure how valuable someone is. So let me cover a few things out of this text that are mentioned about great characteristics of being on a team and being a teammate. These 10 words are used to describe Timothy and Epaphroditus. And Paul is saying that we have a great team because the people on this team have this kind of character. They're caring. They're unselfish. They're concerned about the well-being of others. They model what you're supposed to do in your service to God. They are proven. He says this about Timothy, and it's interesting. We know Timothy was very young at this time, and yet Paul says he has proven himself, and that makes him a valuable team member. They're cooperative. Whatever you ask them to do, they're willing to jump in and do. They're sharing. Whatever they have, they're willing to share with you so that you might accomplish what needs to be done. They're loving. They're submissive. They're willing to get down and dirty and do whatever it takes to be able to get the job done. One of the things I remember about Keith, he always had the dirtiest uniform after the game. Always. And that's because he was willing to just do whatever it took. And responsible. Whatever you assign them to do, they will do it. They'll get it done. Here's the descriptions of their roles and their relationship with Paul. He calls them brother. It's interesting, in showing the relationship with Timothy and Epaphroditus, he refers to both of them as a brother. But notice in referring to Timothy also, he calls him a son, like a father-son relationship. When you really understand the value of a team and having a great teammate, the greatest joy comes when you develop that family attitude, that family atmosphere in your team, and you regard each other not just as somebody who is there, but somebody who is part of your family. Secondly, he calls them fellow workers. In Greek, the word sum is used before several of the words that Paul uses to describe Timothy and Epaphroditus. Sum is the word that we get the word sum from, when you take things and you put them together for the sum total. And what it means in Greek is that them and you put together is the sum. Together, your workers. Together, your soldiers. Timothy and Epaphroditus were the sum, if you will, of the team that Paul was talking about, because you put what they do together with him, and they're a great team together. The word messenger is an interesting word in Greek because it actually is the word apostle. In this particular situation, apostolo is used to define Epaphroditus. And what Paul is saying is, you sent him on a commission. That's what it means. Apostolo means sent out from to accomplish something. And Epaphroditus had been sent by the church at Philippi to take care of Paul. And so Paul uses the word apostle to talk about him as the messenger that the Philippians sent. Imagine the privilege that was stated in saying that about Epaphroditus. Paul uses apostle for himself as one who is chosen by Jesus to be a special messenger. Paul uses that term to the Philippians about Epaphroditus because they sent him as a messenger, and that's a special privilege. The word minister is used also. There are two main words in Greek used for minister. One is diakono, which is the word we get deacon from. You may not realize this in Timothy, that the word deacon is used both for the minister and for the deacon. And the reason for that is diakonos is simply a servant. And what it's saying about Timothy in the book of Timothy is, you're a servant. Don't forget you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And saying that also about a deacon, you're a servant. You're a servant of the church. And you serve the needs of the church in ministry. And that's the reason why it's often translated minister, because it's used in a way that is ministering. A deacon ministers. That's not the word that's used here, though. The word used for minister here is a word that goes back to the Old Testament. And it's latria, which is a word we get latragia, which is liturgy. And it's one who serves as a priest, one who serves in the temple. They do the work of intercessory work between the people and God. And the idea used here is, and it's very appropriate for Epaphroditus, because he is serving between the people of Philippi and Christ to help Paul. And he's saying, he has been a great minister to me. He's been a great minister for you. He's been a great minister for Christ, because he stands in the place of serving the Lord in between man and God. And then he also uses the expression fellow sufferer. Paul considers himself suffering for Christ by being in prison. But he also says Epaphroditus is a fellow sufferer because in trying to serve me, he came here and became sick and almost died in service to God. Therefore, he's a fellow sufferer. And he says there is a great privilege, a great honor in being a sufferer, a fellow sufferer for Christ. So what's the benefits of teamwork? Well, first, I believe the greatest benefit is that we encourage each other. I said a moment ago that the best teammate I ever had was Keith Venable. And you might think it's because he was such a great guard, or because he was such a great third baseman, or a great batter. But really, part of the reason why he was such a great teammate is because he kept encouraging me when I needed encouragement. Keith was going through what I was going through when Vicky's parents decided that we were talking too much about getting married in high school, and they were going to show us that we didn't love each other and not let us see each other for a while. And Keith encouraged me to hang in there. Don't give up on that. Vicky's worth it. Keith was a great encouragement to me. Keith was the one who encouraged me when I hurt my shoulder and the doctor said they really couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't lift it up above my head. That kind of makes your football career a little dicey. And he said, you know, there's more important things than football. And he encouraged me to make the right decisions about my future. And he encouraged me to do other things for the team while I couldn't play. And I probably learned more about coaching during that period of time than any other time in my life. He was an encouragement to me. Great teammates are valuable because they serve the kingdom interest with you. They help you to choose what's the most important. One of the reasons why Keith was such a valuable teammate to me was because we had similar backgrounds. He was also a member of the Church of Christ. He attended another congregation than what I attended, some distance away from each other, but he also had a dad who was a leader in the church like mine. And we often faced situations where we encouraged each other to hang in there. I remember a time where our football team was planning some mischief, and Keith and I didn't feel like that was an appropriate thing for us to be engaged in. And some of the guys were making fun of us because we weren't going to do what they were doing. I don't know if I would have had the strength of character to stay out of trouble if Keith hadn't encouraged me to do the right thing. We also meet each other's needs. We're there to help each other. Be there with each other when things go rough. I remember when Keith's father died and the encouragement I was able to give him. And Keith was an encouragement to me when I went through difficult times in my life. We meet each other's needs. We rejoice in each other. There's no one happier when Keith, as slow as he ran, stole a base. I just thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen happen. You know, I led the team and stolen bases, and Keith, I guess, only stole one base the whole time we played baseball together. But I think I couldn't have had more joy in watching him, and I don't know how he made it from first to second and slide head first into second base and be called safe. And he almost got tagged out trying to rejoice about, you know, having stolen that base. You see, when you're on the team together, you rejoice with each other in what you accomplish. You reduce each other's anxiety. There was a period of time where I was struggling. I was president of the National Honor Society, and I was just not doing very well in chemistry. And I felt like I should quit being in the Honor Society, just go ahead and get it over with before they kicked me out. And I remember Keith encouraging me to hang in there and focus. He said, you know you can do this. You just got to focus. You got your mind on too many things. There's too many things going on. And he encouraged me to hang in there. Stop being so stressed. Focus on one thing at a time. And he was the encouragement I needed to keep going. And I brought those grades back up and made it through it. We honor one another's service. All of what I've told you about Keith is the reason why I wanted him to be one of my groomsmen in my wedding. He thinks I was honoring him. He was honoring me. You see, being on a team is not about membership. There's a lot of members of teams that don't contribute. It's not about wearing a logo or wearing a uniform or having a badge or having a name on your group. A lot of people can do that and don't contribute. The value of being on a team is contributing to the team, contributing to the mission, accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. This year, this church has been tested. It'll probably not be the last time, but we're being tested. I'm not sure, but what we could say that about the church everywhere in the world right now. The church is being tested. The value of being a part of this team is not by wearing the name Christian. It's not by being a member. It's by contributing. The value is judged not by your skill. There's a lot of skillful people who don't accomplish a thing. It's by how you use it. And it's not about the fact that you can sit back and gripe about the results of the team or complain about the coach or whatever. It's about the fact that you decide you're going to do your part and you're going to make it work regardless. That's about being a part of a team. And it's about character. It's about being a person who will live up to their responsibility. It's about doing what you need to do because it's what needs to be done. We've got a lot of people in this church that are that kind of teammate. And they bring me tremendous joy. The things that happen in this church don't happen because they just happen. They happen because somebody is willing to get up and do the job. Somebody's willing to be there and do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. We celebrate 178 casseroles were passed out the other night. But that didn't just happen. There was a whole team of people who made casseroles. There was a whole team of people who were involved in passing them out. It's part of who we are. It's what we're about. There were 1,100 glow sticks passed out to children. That didn't just happen. We didn't just order the glow sticks and let them sit in a box. They had a little tag on it that said, "You're a light shining in the world." Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. And the Graham Street link to our website. And the reason why little kids went home with a little sign from us is because some people decided to be there and do their part. The prison ministry, Celebrate Recovery, all the different things that we're doing, basic needs, helping people with their basic needs, all of those things are happening because we're a team and we work together as a team to do what needs to be done. And brothers and sisters, there's nobody that I have met that would say, "Oh boy, I hope we can have another year like we've had this year." But the amazing thing about it is that God in His divine wisdom can flip everything that Satan tries to use against us into something for His kingdom business. And He's using us as His team to make it happen. I hope you'll be encouraged by the fact that we're a team and that God is using us. And we're going to win. We're going to win. I remember one more story about Keith and then I'll end. I remember our last year in Little League. We got to go to the state championship. And I remember that I hit a single over into right field. I just knocked it right over the second baseman's head and it dropped right in place. And I stole second and third. And I just really needed to get home. We needed that run. And Keith Venable came up to bat. And I knew we had the game won. I knew it was going to happen. And he hit a double. I scored. And eventually he scored. And we won. And that put us into the semifinal. I had confidence when he came up to bat that we were going to win. I knew it was going to happen. This may sound strange, but I have confidence in you. I believe you're going to come through. I believe you're going to hang in there. I believe we're going to come through this, and people are going to know that our Lord is alive, that He is well, that He is still working in His church, no matter how ugly these things get that we're facing this year, that they're going to know that the Graham Street Church of Christ is still a part of this community, and we're going to do good regardless of what we face. I have as much confidence in you as I have when Keith Venable came up to bat. I knew he was going to drive me home. Brothers and sisters, it is a privilege. It is an honor to be on Jesus' team. Let's never forget it. We're on the Lord's team. And we are going to win. No telling what Satan's going to throw at us before this is all over with. But we are going to win. Because that's the plan that God has for His church. This morning as we take communion, it is a reminder of how we're united together in a team. Maybe it doesn't use those words in 1 Corinthians 11, but that's what it's talking about. This body is a team. We're the Lord's team. And we celebrate, among other things, when we take communion, we celebrate the fact that we're the body of Jesus Christ. We're God's team. And I hope as you take communion this morning that you'll remember that. And if there's someone on the team that's suffering, if there's someone that you know about that needs encouragement and prayer, if they need a visit, if they need to be helped in some way, I pray that you'll remember we're a team and we're responsible for each other and we'll lift each other up. David, would you lead us in song?
We typically use this song as an invitation song, but it paints a great word picture of God's love for us in action. So I wanted to sing it as we prepare to take the supper together. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, greater than all our sin. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow may it be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Would you please bow with me as we go to our God who created us in His own likeness? Our Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for this day. We're so thankful for the things that You provide us, more than what we truly deserve. But most of all, we're grateful that we're able to meet here and get to sing songs of praise and give glory to Your name. We're so thankful for Jesus that He that he walked this earth, gave us the example of how we need to live, and we have his inspired word, your inspired word, so that we know how to be an example. We pray that as we take of this bread, that we do it appropriate unto you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, let's be mindful of Jesus, who had walked this earth, who carried our burden of our sins on his shoulders, so that someday that we may be able to spend eternity with you and be pure and whole, just as a team of Christians. And we're so thankful for that. May we ask for forgiveness of our sins, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for being here this morning. We'll have one more song, and then we'll have our shepherd's dismissal. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Good to see everyone here this morning. I do have one announcement before we're dismissed. The family of Webb Jordan, let's remember them in their prayers. Webb is the father of Cindy Lively. Her service is today in Eastland at Edwards Funeral Home. Visitation's at 1 and the funeral's at 2:30. Let's remember that family in our prayers. This is a big week for our nation in the election of a president. Many of us are apprehensive. Many of us are worried. Many of us are actually afraid of what the results may be. If I ask you what the most repeated command in the Bible was, you might be surprised by the answer. The most repeated command is fear not. It's in the Bible. You might see it in don't be afraid, have no fear. Most Bible scholars think there's over 300 times that's used in the Bible. Fear not. It's first used in Genesis 15:1. God tells Abram, don't be afraid. It's last used in Revelation 1:7. God said, fear not. I'm the first. I'm the last. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And how do we do that? Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So as we go through this week and things that may or may not happen, remember that we are citizens of God's kingdom. That's where we belong. Have no fear. God tells us that. God says, fear not. God says, I'm with you. God said, I'm in control. God says, my will be done. So let's remember that this week and also the rest of our days on this earth. Let's pray this morning. Father, we're ever mindful as we come to the close of this service of all the different things that you do for us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you give us. Those blessings are both physical and are both spiritual. Thank you for the changing of the seasons. Thank you for the rain that you've given us. Thank you for the privilege, Father, of allowing us to be in the presence as your children with you. Father, we know all glory goes to you. We ask that you be with our nation this week as the president is selected. We pray for peace and calm during that process. We ask that you open our hearts to your peace, teach us to trust your protection, your healing, your guidance, and not have fear, uncertainty in our hearts. Give us a spirit of hope and love rather than being bitter or angry. Father, I ask that you help us to be the people that you need us to be, that when we open our mouths, when we talk, when we speak, that we will give witness for you and what you want us to be and what you want everybody to be, Father. We ask you protect us from the lies that the evil one will tell us, protect us from those who would attack the bride of Christ. We ask you protect those that are helpless, those that have no protection. Father, thank you for the people that you put in our lives, people that lift us up, people that encourage us, people that are blessings to us and blessings to the church. We pray for those people who are going through the fires and valleys of this life, those who have lost jobs or in financial difficulties, those that are having health issues, Father, those that have lost loved ones. We pray that you be with them. Bless them. Help us be a light in this world, Father. Help us be the salt to others. Also, Father, we ask that you be with the doctors and the nurses who are working on a solution to the virus that has attacked the world. Just be with them, Father. Give them wisdom and knowledge as they go forward. But thank you for forgiveness. We pray that we will be able to forgive others as you have forgiven them, and we can forgive them also, Father. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the grace we have through your Son. Thank you for those that labor here. Give them strength and wisdom and courage as we carry on. Help us see clear, Father, the way that you would have us go in your will. Thank you for each precious soul here this morning. Be with us as we leave here, and we'd be a light in this dark world. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Thank you again for being here with us this morning. Just a couple of announcements. One thank you I overlooked this morning for all of our families that went out last week to the Lone Star Family Farm. Thank you for going. We had 110 people who showed up for that. A huge thank you to the Doties for helping us get in at a great deal that we were able to, and also to Rusty and Lisa Rose for providing a fun pizza meal for us at the end of that time there. Also have another announcement I want to share from Ron Powell and the security team. There's a lot of us that are privileged to have keys to the building, If you unlock a door, please make sure you lock it back. It becomes a security concern when we show up here and doors are open that we did not open. So please make sure that if you're coming into the building and that's something that you are the reason something is unlocked, that you make sure that gets taken care of and locked back afterwards. Thank you for being a great team for us and for being a team that we know we can go out into this world and joyfully share the love of Christ. A song will be playing as we dismiss this morning. See you tonight at 5 for classes.